Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Armor Report. It's Tuesday, the 30th of October. Tomorrow's Halloween. I hope everyone's getting excited for that, getting ready. I know I have a five-year-old who can't wait to dress up like a cheetah. All right, this is the Armor Report. I'm your host, Brett Rosenthal, and I'm going to come at you every day at 12 o'clock. This is a stock market investing show through the millennial lens. This is not your dad's stock market. It's not your granddad's. It's nothing that you remember pre-2008. The world has changed since the financial crisis, and you better change with it. And on this desk every day, I try to share with you actual information that we're using on our desk to manage capital, where we combine traditional fundamental analysis with millennial execution tools, things like algorithms and VWAPs and exchange-traded funds, volatility. These are the kind of words you didn't hear about pre-2008, but they dominate execution on a day-to-day basis now, and you've got to have arrows in your quiver if you're going to perform, if you're going to protect your capital and still capture upside. And I'm trying to help you and place some of those arrows into the quiver. So let's get to the news right away and see if it's changing our algorithms at all. You know, if you follow me on Twitter, hashtag Armor Report, at Brett Rosenthal, and go to our website, rosenthalcapital.com. We have a real-time risk-on, risk-off monitor. We have algorithms designed for the top five indexes, and since October 5th, we've been telling you it's the riskiest time to have exposure in equities. Take that information however you want, depending on the type of investor you are. But when all five of our indexes are in cash, these are cash only. These are long only algorithms. This is not about shorting. This is for investors now. It's not for traders. This is long only algorithms. Either we're long the equity indexes or we're cash. And we use that information to manage our portfolios. Depending on how aggressive you are, you could take that information that the top five indexes are all cash based on the algorithm, and you can go short. That's up to you. There are many different ways to use this algorithmic information that I'm sharing with you every day and that I share with you on our website, rosenthalcapital.com. So over a month ago, if you were using this information in any way, it prepared you for this sell-off. Now we've had 15 of 18 down days in the S&P. 15 of 18 down days. The last 18 days, 15 of them are down. And our algorithms told you to protect capital at the beginning of the month. And I only remind you of that so you understand and remember why you're listening to this podcast every day. It will prepare you to protect capital when necessary, and at the same time, put capital at risk when the reward is worth it. This is not a predictive algorithm per se. Just because we say it's time to put risk on doesn't mean we expect to make money every time. We're going to lose money. There will be times hello, everybody. This is a news flash. There will be times that I tell you we're risk on an asset and we lose money. It happens. The key is to put probabilities and statistics on our side. Cut losses aggressively and stay with our successes. If you do that simple part of the equation correctly, you could increase your net worth and only be right 3 times out of 10. Our algorithms are right 7 times out of 10 on average. Some are a little bit more, like our S&P algorithms, up to around 90%. But by the way, that doesn't mean 90% of the time we make a fortune. It just means 90% of the time we get on a position, it goes up enough for us to raise our stop and protect our capital. Sometimes we get stopped out a little bit above break even. Sometimes we're stopped out a week later and we've just booked a small profit. We wait for the next setup. Other times we hook into a real meaty fish and the market runs for 6 months and we're long the entire period. What we're trying to do is get you on the right side of those probabilities statistics, and only expose your capital to risk when reward potentials are the greatest. Which really means, what does that translate into? These algorithms are designed to help us buy weakness and sell into strength. So if you're following me on Twitter this morning, hashtag Armor Report, I did comment real quick on the only piece of news that was worth anything to me this morning, and where it's not very bullish, and it kind of corroborates the fact the market's going lower, is that we had consumer confidence at an 18-year high. You know, in our opinion on the desk here, the reason the markets are down, and by the way, I don't really care about reasons. I just care about making money. But for the fun of these conversations, we come up with reasons. It's like part of the human emotion. The brain likes to figure out why. Okay, well, the stronger the economic numbers, the worse it is for the market because the Fed's raising rates. That's it. That's the only news story that makes a difference. Don't tell me about tariffs and trade wars and armies of immigrants. None of that moves the market. What's moving the market is the fact that we, pre-2018, post-2008, we've had Federal Reserve chairmen that have been wildly supportive of equity markets. And every time the equity market were sell-off and hiccup, the Fed would come out, make comments that calm the market down, and execute buy orders to support equity and bond markets. That's what happened for a decade. Okay, that decade's over. Now it's 2018. We have a new Fed chair, and this Fed chair is determined to get rates higher and normalize rates. Now, honestly, I think that's a good thing overall for our country. But when it comes to investing, it's a bad thing for the stock market. That's all. It's a bad thing for the stock market. So we have risk off on all of our indexes starting at the beginning of this month, and the markets have plummeted. And the corroborating fundamental piece of information to go with that risk off signal, it started, don't forget, September 24th, when we told you it's time to get out of small and mid caps. That was right near the top of the market. So it's, and the corroborating evidence is that during the month, we keep getting stronger economic numbers and a Fed that has come out and made it very clear they're going to raise rates again in December, and they're thinking of raising rates three more times in 2019. That's just very difficult to support an equity market in that environment. So taking the information now and going to our algorithms, I do field a lot of questions via email, info@rosenthalcapital.com. Sometimes there's a direct message I can respond to on Twitter, @BrettRosenthal. And what I get a lot of questions of, well, what would have to happen to get the algorithms to tell us it's risk on again? I mean, geez, the market's down a lot. Some of these big cap stocks, these FANG stocks, these things are, they've given up 25% of their value in a month. They've lost a quarter of their value in a month. So when are we going to get back in? Well, look, I'm going to tell you a couple things. Number one, after a nasty sell-off like this, typically the first buy signal off of the bottom is not very profitable. We might be able to scratch a profit out of a small degree, but it will. Our targets will be tight. We'll get a position on, and we'll look to stop it out. Sorry about that, y'all. This is a live trading desk, and I had to take that call. All right, let's go back to our conversation, if anybody's still with me. And let's move on to a couple of thoughts, some housekeeping. I talked about treasuries over the last couple of weeks and that we were looking to buy TLT. But then yesterday, if you were on the call yesterday, and I think I tweeted it out as well, you know, I'm out of that trade. I had a very tight stop. I didn't like the way it was behaving. The market was suffering dramatically and treasuries are not going up. I can't stay with that trade. So out of that trade, already hit a raise stop and, you know, it was basically a break-even trade there. So it just wasn't behaving right. And of course, today with the market up, treasuries are down 0.5%. So that's just not going to fly in the portfolio. I'm keeping stops very tight. Normally I do anyway, but particularly in this market, if you're not getting paid on something, can't stay at the party too late. It'll get ugly. I also tweeted out today, please go to the Twitter feed right now because it'll help you. A picture is worth 1,000 words, proverbially. And I tweeted out a picture of the small cap index and how important the small cap index is to the overall sell-off. Small caps started the sell-offs, and I believe the small caps will end the sell-off. So we've got a very, very short-term triple bottom here in on the small caps. One, two, three. This is day four where they've been able to hold their low, which is not something that small caps have been able to do for over a month. So that's important. If that low holds and we can break out of this consolidation, probably there's a run back up. Somewhere in here, there's a run back up to the 200-day moving average. And it's going to be fierce. And so we're trying to manage that correctly, and I'm looking for signs of when that's going to ignite. And I feel like the first sign will come from small caps. If they can hold a low, we're going to get some action to the upside. This day is a little disjointed after that call, but let me try to collect my thoughts. All right, let's keep going with the Twitter feed because that'll help us. And in the Twitter feed, I talked about how important the day trading opportunities were. In a market like this, if we come into the day with a huge cash position, which we've basically been in for the last month, then it kind of behooves me to position the S&P 500 index at every opportunity so that when the rally back towards 200-day moving average occurs, I can benefit in my portfolio and for that of my clients. So I'm using an intraday trading algorithm that we've written to help us identify areas each day, what we call locations, that are valuable locations. And if we get the right reversal at that location, we put in a trade on. And it's a trade that could turn into a longer-term multi-day trade. So I'm not really day trading so much. I'm not looking to profit when I hit targets. I'm looking to really stay with the trade as long as possible. So once the asset runs up and hits the first couple targets, I raise the stop to a little above break-even just to make sure I'm not giving away too much, so that I can fire every day during this downtrend looking for the beginning of the rally back to the 200-day moving average. It's going to be a pretty stout rally. And I feel like it's really my job to try, since I've been in cash for a month, it's my job to try to get the position on as quick as possible for that run back to the 200-day. Just look at the S&P now. We're at, you know what, 265. And change and the 200 days up around 276. That's a big move. And it won't mean anything to the downtrend. We'll still be in a major downtrend that got started at the beginning of this month. They could rally all the way to 200 day and the market will still be in a nasty downtrend. But it'll just, you know, take some of this oversold reading and wear it off. Some of the shorts will cover and it'll happen for reasons that, you know, don't make any sense to us. So just all of a sudden, shorts will cover, and for whatever reason, a piece of news comes out. So each day on an intraday basis, I take weakness during the day, and I look at locations, and then we use our entry algorithm to put a position on, raise our stop to break even as soon as we can, and then see if we can get the thing to run. And if it ever runs, you know, we're on a position that we may hold overnight. Because when we look at the multi-day algorithms, they're very close to telling us the all clear sign is there and it's time to put risk capital back to work. Now, we'll talk about how much risk capital to put to work based on the structure of the market when we get that buy signal. But we will get a risk on signal somewhere down here. So I'm looking at locations intraday of where I want to put a position on, so that if we get that surge to the close, we're already in when we get the multi-day long risk on signal from our multi-day algorithms. So when you see me tweeting about these trades on an intraday basis, it's really not to day trade. It's to build a position at a key location so that we've got a piece of our position on when we get the multi-day risk on signal already in the portfolio. Okay. And it looked like we had a little run there. The market's now let's move on to the next tweet. I've been tweeting about VWAPs. This is the segment of the show where I talk about millennial tools. Volume weighted average price is probably the most, if not one of the most, the most important millennial tool. It's called volume weighted average price. You see, back before the financial crisis and back in your dad's stock market, we had actual spreads on a stock. We didn't have decimalization. Everybody pretended that decimalization was so great for the individual investor. Oh, the poor individual investors getting fleeced by institutions because of a spread, because there were market makers on New York Stock Exchange who bought a stock at 50 and sold it at 50 and a quarter. That 25 cents was just too much. The poor investors getting fleeced. Well, careful what you wish for. Now we have decimalization, and computers are fleecing the individual. And you have no idea where the real price is. At least in past stock markets, in your dad's stock market, the bid and the offer was real. You could see it in the order book. So you gave up a quarter for the safety of legitimate pricing. We don't have legitimate pricing today. We have wild moves up and wild moves down. We have spoofing by high-frequency traders pretending that they're a bid, and when you go to hit it, they disappear. Careful what you wish for. Careful what you wish for. Arthur Levitt is the architect of the market we live in today. Everyone thinks he's this great pioneer to help the individual investor. What a joke. He was a great pioneer to ruin the stock market we had and give rise to the machines of high-frequency trading and discount brokerage firms. Now, how's that working for everybody? Now everyone's clueless and they don't know where the real bid and offer is. When the market starts going down, there's nobody to step up and support the market. Have you seen a picture of the New York Stock Exchange on CNBC? No one's around anymore. The floor is empty. Good luck when a real sell-off starts. Maybe it's already started. So where do you put your order in? Where is the real bid and the real offer? You get what you pay for. If you pay fractions of pennies for a bid and an offer, then they aren't real bids and offers. Someone's got to make money somewhere. Nothing's free. Sorry, progressive liberals. Nothing is free. Go look at countries who try to pretend that everything could be socialist and free. They're decaying from the inside out. It doesn't work. Capitalism works. But then, of course, you got to pay for things. So you pay the spread to give you liquidity and legitimate pricing. Sorry if I'm on a soapbox right now, but it just drives me nuts. People pretend they're helping out the individual investor, and all they do is create you know, the world we live in today, which is a computerized world where nobody can figure out where the real price is unless you're using algorithms. And that's what we do on our desk. We had to adapt. So on the one hand, I'm on a soapbox because I think it's ridiculous. And I long for the days where I paid a spread and knew that there was real bids and offers. And I've progressed. I've joined the fray. We've written our own algorithms and we're in there doing battle, protecting capital and capturing upside with the algorithms. And the volume weighted average price is the single most important tool you can use. Think about the words volume weighted average price. It's telling you where institutions are actually executing their orders. And that's where the real volume is. And that's where the new market maker is, if you will. So we look for moves around VWAPs, top day VWAP, meaning today's VWAP and previous day VWAP. And I put up a picture on Twitter, and it's just a beautiful picture, 1,000 words here again. Take a look at my post about MJ. Now, you know, I love the marijuana stocks, and I'm going to get to that tomorrow. I'm going to do a whole nother episode of the marijuana stocks, because the prices they're trading at are just phenomenal. It's so rare you get a second shot at a watershed event. So we're going to go over that again tomorrow. But for right now, look at that tweet I put up on MJ. You can go $MJ and see the tweet, or you can do hashtag Armor Report, scroll down, you'll see a tweet about MJ. It's another example of the power of the VWAP. I say RCM VWAP because that's our own proprietary VWAP that, you know, our own secret sauce is to use volatility functions inside of the VWAP to give us a better, more accurate volume weighted average price. And you can see that MJ went right up to the previous day's VWAP. It closed what we call the VWAP gap. Whenever there's a gap above or below the VWAP, the next day the asset usually wants to close that gap. And then the real trading begins because that's where the real price is. MJ's close yesterday was so far away from the VWAP, almost 3 standard deviations away from the VWAP, that there were complete suckers selling MJ at the end of the day yesterday, 3 standard deviations away from where the real volume weighted average price is. If you'd just been patient, you would have got a pop back to the VWAP today and you could have sold it at the VWAP. And there's the example of it. It literally top ticks on the VWAP. And look at the volume spike. If you're looking at that Twitter, hashtag Armor Report, you'll see a green dot on a blue line today at around 10 o'clock as it hit yesterday's VWAP. So volume traded again at that price. That little green dot means volume is trading. It's 100% bigger than the average bar. The volume on that bar is 100% bigger than the average volume on any given bar over X amount of days ago. The X is the secret sauce I'll keep to myself. Okay? That's a classic example of how important VWAP is. Don't make trades without knowing where the volume weighted average price is and how far away you are from that price. Put orders in at the VWAP. Sell and buy orders. That's the price you want. Okay? I'm just going to wrap up today. Another question I get in the inbox at info@rosenthalcapital.com. Question I get a lot is, are there any, you know, reading materials or other professionals that I listen to that help me, you know, make decisions? The first answer is I make decisions based on algorithms. So I don't really care what anyone else is saying. But I do, you know, from time to time, I watch CNBC, I read different magazines, newspapers, just collecting information and trying to, you know, scratch that human itch of wanting to know the why of things, even though it doesn't help you as an investor figuring out the why, but it's fun. And so I will tell you that there's two sources that I use the most. One is the Investor's Business Daily. It's my favorite newspaper. I've been reading it since the late 1980s, believe it or not. And And I think it's a wonderful source. I use it online now, IBD.com. So it's just a great source for uncovering companies that I want to do research on. So I'm ready with my whiteboard when I get a risk-on opportunity. I know where I want to go. So I use the IBD for that. And I also really, really think that Jim Cramer is on it. You know, you might not like him for whatever your reasons are. Maybe he's, you know, a little too in your face. I don't know. But the guy knows what he's talking about. You know, all we could do in this world is play to our strengths. And his strength is ferreting out companies worth doing research on and ferreting out investment themes and understanding the effects of things like the Fed on the market.
Me too.
Yeah, sure. Some things are ridiculous, he says. Some things are wrong. We're all going to be wrong sometimes. But the majority of the time, he says a lot of right things. Now, I put out a tweet, as you may recall, you follow my feed, you can go back and look on the 23rd of October. That's a few days ago, right? I put out a tweet with a picture, a chart, and I said, and I did an episode, a podcast about it, that the markets today in 2018 remind me of the market in 2000. There's a lot of similarities. And if that continues to play out, we have a nasty bear market ahead of us. And last night, Jim Cramer picked up that mantle and ran with it on his show. So I guess, you know, I like him a little bit because we think alike. He went over that exact scenario. He also talked today in the morning, 9 o'clock. I like to tune in to CNBC 9 to 9:30, listen to what he has to say. And he talked about the importance of ETFs and how they really control the market today. And this is something, you know, I've been talking about ad nauseum for the last 27 episodes. ETFs are a millennial tool. Get to know them. Listen, you all have a safe day of trading out there, and I'll speak to you again tomorrow, and we'll be covering the marijuana stocks.